I don't eat till we come back. 20 minutes, I just want to say something to somebody. You know, it will not be for all, but certainly it will be for somebody here. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and stretch ourselves. First, stand up. Stand up with your Bible. Open your Bible and let's conclude Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Amen. All of us will read that, and I believe that within these few minutes, I will just conclude this. We started it last week, and the vigil continued last Sunday, continued last vigil again, and then let's just conclude that so that next service we can say something else. Hallelujah. So, Revelation chapter 22, all of us together, verse 17, shall we go? And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are looking at that great invitation. It is a great invitation because it is invitation from the Lord of glory himself. We have looked at it from every angle, but why I keep stressing it? I keep stressing this exhortation. It's an exhortation. It's not a Bible teaching. I'm not teaching you a mystery. Pastor Peter, during the Sunday school, he keeps hammering on those mysteries. Pastor Thomas comes also during Sunday school. He hammers on those mysteries. Those mysteries are there to establish us. But sometimes, we have two groups of people sitting and listening to us now. Sometimes, there is a way, revelation, too much knowledge, makes you to sit down and take things for granted. That's why Apostle Paul says, he who thinks he stands, he said, do what? Take heed, lest you fall. And the second group that we need to talk to regularly are those who God has given the opportunity to escape from the destruction that is coming upon this world. Those who God has given the opportunity to come out of the denominational confusion, out of the denominational abracadabra, out of the errors that are going on there, by making you to locate a ministry like this. And yet, you sit down here, like the adage that says, a fish swimming inside water and yet thirsty of water. You are inside the ocean, and yet you are unable to drink water, and you die in the ocean for thirst. That not too many people come into this ministry have understood the privilege that God has given us in causing us to see the light that he has shone in this age. And so they come here by the wrong attraction. It is a wrong attraction if your reason for coming here is for protection. There are people that are coming to Bride Assembly for protection. Because they know the grace of God in this ministry. As long as they are here, if anything happens, the people here, when they pray, God, they answer. There are prophets here. And they do that, and they try as they come here. All they are struggling to do is to get close to a minister. They come here, they walk their way, and they are close to a minister. They are close to a prophet. They are close to the pastor. Because they know at any time at all, if there's any trouble, if I call him, I know he will arise, and I know the anointing he has. Now, if that is the reason you are in this church, it is a wrong reason. It is a wrong attraction. This ministry has gone beyond that type of Christianity. The reason for this church has gone far beyond that type of Christianity. We are raising men here to get connected to God. Get connected to Christ. Have a relationship with Him. Don't be yoked to a man. Don't do that. The reason we are here, this is God's last, we call it last bus stop. Yes, symbolically, it is a last bus stop around all the churches in Ijesha here. This is the last church behind us is Kana. So symbolically, it is the last bus stop. Therefore, whatever problem is disturbing you, if it didn't go away by the churches near the road, near the main road. There are churches that are near the road, plenty of them. You stay there, stay there, stay there, nothing happened. You pass the road, nothing happened. If you enter here, something must happen, because beyond this place, no church behind again. So this is the last bus stop. Tell your neighbor, this is your last bus stop. But it is also symbolic in the sense that we are a product of the last move of God before the rapture. The last move of God before the rapture is this end time message. And so many of us come here, we have not caught that revelation. Even when we sing our anthem, God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the original life. Oh, the original life. The original sea. The original world is what I believe. The Son of Man is the seven seals. Oh, the original life. The original sea. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We have caught the revelation of the last prophet, last bus stop, last message, last angel, last message to the church. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Seven is the last number, the God's number for completion. Completion. It completes by the number seven. Seven angels. Six angels have come and sounded in the six past church ages. And Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice. That voice is the message. The voice of the seventh angel. That is, in the days of the end time message. In the days of the message of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. What is the mystery? The salvation of the Gentiles. That's the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul told us that is the mystery. One mystery will be rounding up. We are product of that ministry. We were locked up in the denominational errors. The word of God was closed. And they turned this word of God to be secondary. And one time the Lord Jesus Christ turned and looked at the Pharisees. And the same thing applied to the denominations now. He told them, in vain do you worship God. Do you know what it means for Christ to say, in vain do you worship God? People are worshiping God, but they are worshiping God in vain. A worship that is not acceptable before God is a worship in vain. Why? He said, in vain do you worship God. He said, teaching for commandments. I mean, teaching for doctrine, the commandment of man. Teaching for doctrine, the commandment of man. That's why those teachings, those doctrines, those worship, they are in vain. Why is it in vain? Because it cannot place anybody in the rapture. He cannot place any Christian in this age that we're living in the rapture. Every age had the spirit to overcome. There is the evil of the day to overcome. We in this Laodicean church age, we too have something to overcome. And it is that spirit that has kept the denomination in total blindness. But we thank God for the ministry of William Marion Branham. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As with victory is ours, who we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Who's original life? The original life. The original sea.
The original sea.
The original world. He's one upon me.
He's one upon me.
The Son of Man. Hallelujah. It's true. And when you see people who have gotten their eyes of revelation open, when you see the way they respond, when they come to a church like this, what is attracting them is not the anointing. That's the truth. There's no anointing that is in this church that is not in other churches 10 times. Go to synagogue. Go and see that man now with hand only they do it. Oh, keep a miracle go take place. It's true. Go to Christ's embassy like this. Take it. The person will stand up. Person will never walk for 12 years will stand up. They run. Follow me. Power. Hallelujah. That's the truth. So, we cannot be boasting of anointing in this church. There's no anointing for us to boast with here. Is it vision? You don't see Suleiman, they see vision for you before. Go see your name. See the day they born you. See the day where you go die. And it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Whichever spirit they are using, then they see. So we cannot boast, say we they see for bride assembly, because then too then they see. Praise the Lord. Healing here, then they heal. Fruit of the womb here, then they get out. Amen. But there's something we have that they don't have. We have the revelation of the word, the understanding of the scripture. That is what we boast of here. Praise the Lord. That's the difference between foolish virgins and wise virgins. It is revelation. It's a revelation of the word. The spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. Hallelujah. The church has come to an estate now where what the Holy Ghost is saying is what a group of people are also saying. Why? The bridegroom and the bride have united. They have united. One love, one faith, one baptism. Say what the scripture says. United by that faith. And what the spirit is saying, the spirit says it in the spirit, the bride echoes it in the physical. Amen. So what the spirit is saying is what the bride is saying. But how will you know what the spirit is saying until you are able to identify the bride? God brought you to this place, and I have seen four reasons why people don't accept this invitation. Come out of the denomination. Come back to Bible Christianity. Four, that is why the bride and the spirit and the bride, they are also saying, fear not. Fear, 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 fear. Fear in four areas. See, let's go to Luke. The first area. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Understand something the Lord Jesus was saying here. From verse 36. See. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why people cannot accept this message. This is the reason. Verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. 37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man, see verse 39 is very instructive. No man also having drunk old wine straight away desireth new. For he said, the old is better. Hey, praise the Lord. I see some of you ministers, you want to go to a Catholic church to preach the entire message. I see you want to go to Methodist, Equa, Cooking, Baptist, to preach entire message. You want to go to Redeem to preach entire message. You want to go to Winner Chapel to preach the entire message. They will never receive it. They will never receive it. I have seen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think 2 weeks ago, I was not here that weekend. We went for a program in Kwara State, Lafayette. And I didn't know that the church that invited me is an intermessage church. And somehow, they watch us on the satellite television on our daily broadcast. And they got to know, some of those pastors, they got to know that I was around. And they came to see me, pastor of a denominational branch at Lafayette. He came and he told me something. He said he was in a missionary trip to one village in Kwara State. And then they just flip over and by accident, they jammed me preaching on that channel. And he saw what I was preaching, and he said, where this man come from? He said, based on what he had, He said when he came back to his station, Falafiaji, he went to buy the satellite dish to install it so that he can be watching that program. He said one day he stayed in his room after watching the program. He was crying. Why was he crying? He said what puzzled him was that. He said, this man is preaching this thing raw and hard. He said, yet there is big congregation listening to him. That is, he was condemning himself that they are refusing to preach the truth for fear that there will be no followers. But that God has raised up a man that will judge all of them. He preaches the truth, yet there are people that are coming to that church. He said then, what is the secret? Amen. And he came. And I was telling him the secret. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The truth is, he must not attempt to preach what I am preaching in his denomination. Now, what is the Lord Jesus saying there? He said, new wine is not put into old bottle. The bottle that is referring to is not our glass bottle. So, in those days, it is sheepskin that they sew and turn it to a liquid carrying container. That is the bottle they are referring to. And you know, it is a skin of an animal. So, when it gets old, what happens to it? It becomes hard. It is no longer elastic. When it is new, you know it's elastic. It can expand. But it gets old, so it becomes starchy, dry like that. If you try to expand it, what will happen? It will tear. So, and you know, when you put new wine, there is excitement. You know, it is very lively. It expands. A lot of excitement there. When you put new wine, it is very strong, and then it disturbs all that foam that comes out. So for there, it looking for space, so it will expand that thing. And that bag is a type of the denominational church. The only reason the denominational church cannot receive the message we are preaching, sent forth by that man, William Branham, the only reason they reject it is because if they receive that message, the church will break. The church will break. And so for fear that the church will break, they drive you away. There are ministers that listen to us for fear that their church will drive them away if they dare preach correct water baptism. You see? They cannot preach. They see that according to the Bible, it is woman pastor is wrong. It's unscriptural. They know it. They know it. They believe it is the truth. But fear. Fear. They come here every Tuesday. They come here every Friday to hear the word. They know what we are saying is the truth. They know, their conscience know, bear record that this is the truth. But what bottle will you pour that wine in? That is why the message says, come out of her. That old bottle cannot contain this new revival. This new revival, it cannot contain it. Then, you are surprised why the average denominational man cannot accept this message. He ended, in that verse 39, he said, no man having taken the old wine straight away wants to drink the new. He is satisfied with the old one. Eh? This is how we met it. This is how it is. So what do you want us to do? Which one again are they talking about? He's satisfied with the old way that they were doing it before. What a miserable condition. So you understand the privilege that God has given you is for you to come out. Some of you, one leg here, one leg still there. I wonder, why? It simply means something is wrong with you. Christianity is an individual decision. But people are taking decision influenced by some other person's feelings. I don't want to offend them. You know, I'm doing this once my, I have already caught what you people are doing. I've already caught what you people are doing. I know what people are saying. So, but pastor, you know, it's small. Eh? One of my brothers is here now. Maybe he's listening to me here now. Eh? He said, they tie him in his denomination with appointment. He said, just about the time he wants to leave. He said, Bill, I said, and they take no. They will come give another chairman of one committee. So you now remain there because of the appointment now. You know, I don't like to offend people. I don't like offending people. I don't like offending people. They are pushing you to hell. I don't like offending people. So make I go, you know. And they push you. They see hell and they go, you know, if I refuse now, you know, you'll be offended. I don't like offending people. So if they push you, they go hell. I don't like offending people. That is evidence something is wrong with your head. That man carry you come that church? You know, as you take enter, why is he having problem and leaving? Praise the Lord. Until one day he said, "Kai, you don't do." And he leave this church. He made up his mind and left. When you left, then go vex. But let me tell you something. If he's a true man of God, if you leave and they say, "Where are you now?" And you tell them, "You are now a follower of the ministry of William Branham," they will leave you alone. They know us all over the world. They know. They call us Brahamite. Just like the Berean Christians, they call them Christians as a nickname. Why? Because they say we are the followers of William Branham's teachings. And they are afraid to stand near us to open Bible. If you say, "Come and meet my pastor," you say, No. Come and I tell you to teach Bible. Hey, come and meet him now. He can't come. Because they know what we are saying is the truth. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. That is fear, number one. My 20 minutes don't go. Extra time. Fear again, because the number two fear, the second fear, is the fear of the price to pay for the decision you make. Because when you are going to follow this entire message, there are a lot of things that you will drop. Sister, then plenty for you. Brother, then plenty for you. There are things you will have to drop. And sometimes that is the reason. That's the reason. Some people cannot be members of this church. They only come when they have problems to be solved. The reason is because the sister still wants to continue wearing trousers. You still continue to wear earring. You still want to continue to palm your hair. You still want to continue to wear those Chinese attachments. You still want to continue to bleach. That's the only reason. But for the power, you are sure. The power is there. It's uncontaminated. You know that one. But for the doctrine, no. Ha! Amen. See, the drugs that actually fight antibiotic. There is no antibiotic that is sweet. I don't know whether there's any. Eh? There is no antibiotic if you are infected. No antibiotic that is sweet. Very bitter. Very, very bitter. Eh? All the agbo of malaria, any of them sweet? all their agbo. But you have to, with the bitterness, you go squeeze your face, but go see the drinker. You go see the drinker because you have no option. If the malaria must go, you must drink the agbo, no matter how bitter it is. So shall it be for Christ too. But you are afraid of the price. And so you are ashamed. You are ashamed. Some of you shame, like I mentioned during the vigil. You are ashamed. You are ashamed of what people will start to feel about you. How will I now stand? No earring. No this. No this. I have a young girl that has followed me to church today. My friend's daughter. She's hearing me now. She's sitting at the back there. He said, hey, daddy, my mother said, it makes me look cute. It makes me look cute. You know, it makes it very easy. So I can ride Okada, and then they make it look, you know, cute. You know, and they get English to speak. They have English to speak. Now it's very sweet, you know, very, 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 what, why? Where is she hearing that from? She's hearing it from another pastor. And another pastor tell her, say, it makes you cute, man. It brings out your figure. Makes you, you know, it makes you very cute, very, very smart. Makes you very smart. You know, the nature of your job, because of the nature of your job, you know, you're a model, you know, so you should keep, you know, anywhere you go, let the cops come out. Show what you have. You know, show what you have. You will show what you have in hell one of these days. Because it is what you have you will show wherever you go. In hell, you will show what you have. We preaching it. We, daughters and sons of God, that have dropped down. Maybe we have psychiatric case. Or we don't know where they sell trousers to buy and wear. Or we don't have ears to hang a ring. You see? So you continue now. Continue to wear it. Continue. But that is the reason so many people cannot receive this truth. And it is a bait for all of us. This is the age that God is saying, I mean, everybody is a Christian. 90% of people in Lagos are going to church. Everywhere now, I'm a Christian. God himself knows how to expose everybody. If not, why will God so hammer it? Through the ministry of William Branham, the Holy Ghost was hammering it to the Americans. He was an American preaching in America. He hammered it. Why was the Spirit of God hammering it like that in this age? So that you will know those who truly love God. Because to start with, William Branham preached the message entitled "The Deep Call It to the Deep." What he was saying there is, if the deep call it, there is a deep to respond. What he's saying there is, if I have the Holy Ghost and you have the Holy Ghost, if I am speaking by the Holy Ghost, you will acknowledge it. If you have the Holy Ghost and I'm speaking of my own, you will also acknowledge it. And that man spoke by the Holy Ghost. And everyone that has received genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost will acknowledge that what that man spoke is thus said the Lord. But the question is, why is God telling us not to dress like that now? Why? You are asking, but why? Why? We are talking about a bride. It means there is a husband you are betrothed to. And I want to see that during courtship, that your boyfriend, your fiance in courtship with you, is it not the period of courtship you get to know one another? The man you want to marry say he does not like you wearing a ring. And you're saying, no. Why? No. This is your own, don't too much. No, don't too much. What will the man do? I'm sorry. It's okay. You can continue with your earring. The kind of wife I want to marry is the type that will not wear earring. Not everyone that says Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, that scripture is loaded. At that day, many shall come and say, was it not in your name I cast out devils? I did these mighty signs and miracles. And he said, he will tell them, I never knew you. He did not deny the miracles they did in his name. But he said he didn't know them. He said, go away, you that walk iniquity. And iniquity is knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. I have told you this before. I said, when I believed this entire message newly, I said that my wife asked me, you tell me to stop wearing a ring, not to put on this, not to perm my hair. If I go out and they ask me, what should I tell them? She was expecting me to open scripture and show her. I told her years back, I was not a pastor. I just came across this entire message after I gave my life to Christ. And I told her, if you go out and they ask you, why are you not wearing this? Tell them this is how my husband wants me to be. That's all. That's all. I marry you with person together. I don't pay your bride price. I have the final say. I am to determine how my wife will dress. And if she says a lie, it makes her an adulterous woman. It means she's not dressing to please me. She has some other man she's looking up to please. That is the truth. If I say this is how I want you to dress, and I am a Christian man, and she knows I am a Christian man, I am to determine if she wears any dress I don't like. I say, honey, I don't like this. Hey, a good wife will change immediately. But a stubborn woman, an adulterous woman, eateth and wipeth her mouth and says, I have done no evil. Proverbs 30 says so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is spiritually. You say you are the bride of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost says, this is how I want my church to look like. In this age, in other ages, they all had their own standard. In this church age, there is the standard of God's holiness for this age. And there is no Christian woman I have seen that has received the Holy Ghost that this thing has been any issue. The problem you have is because you have not yet received the Holy Ghost. And may God give you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Once a woman is married, she does not care what any other person feels about her. All her attention is on that man. If she cook her food and you come and eat and say the food no good, that report means nothing to her until she hears the report of her husband. She lives her life all revolve around her husband. Two of them shall be one. One in opinion, one in understanding, one in everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I told you during the night vigil, some of you are afraid of death. That's why you cannot stand for truth. And I told you that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Luke chapter 12. How that you should not be afraid of those who can only kill your body but cannot kill the soul. But be afraid only of those, of he who can kill both the soul and the body. It's true. Who will you fear? They will starve you and you will die, Abby. They will sack you from your place of work. They will do this, they will do that. For that fear, you compromise your faith and compromise your eternal destination. Fear, again, of what to eat. Fear, again, of how you will survive. Fear that they will throw you out in the streets. Fear, these are the four areas the Spirit and the bride is saying, fear not. Because there is a consequence of that fear in Revelation chapter 22, 21. Revelation 21. And I close this topic. Concerning the white throne judgment. After the new Jerusalem descends. Verse 7 and verse 8. I read it during the vigil. For those of you who don't come for vigil, listen. I'm reading Revelation 21, verse 7 and verse 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, those who fear. And I've told you the four areas why they are afraid. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first death is the one we die now. But after that, there is a judgment again. And that is when God will resurrect all those who did not go in the rapture. They will come back, resurrect them again, and they will face the judgment throne to let them know why they will now be thrown into the fire. The first group, he said, they are the fearful. You see the area they are afraid of? I have enumerated them now. Fear. Fear that made you not to take your stand for Jesus. Everyone that has been afraid, fearful, he said, you have your part in the lake of that burning with fire and brimstone. Brimstone is hotter than fire. It's prepared for the fearful. Hey, I am preaching now. I am not lecturing. What I'm telling you will come to pass. Somebody one day will stand and remember this message. That he was given opportunity to put away every fear and take a stand for God and damn the consequence because of the hope we have. But many people are so myopic, they can't see beyond now. Church, there is a heaven to go. There is a hell also to go. And God decided in such a way, he left every human being to make a choice where to choose to go. But he so loved the world, he has decided to let you know the danger of taking the wrong decision by anointing preachers to preach to tell you heaven is real, hell is real. Why will you, with open chest and Bible in your hand, choose to go to hell when you have opportunity here now? What is the reason for refusing to take the right decision? You want to keep wearing trousers? That's all. What a stupid thing. You want to keep painting your face? What a stupid reason to be compared with the glory that is ahead there. Jesus Christ has so much anointing. He was loved by everybody. But there is a revelation he had. That no matter how they love him and they wanted to make him king, he had more revelation than to submit himself to be a king in Israel. After all, he is born to be the King of Kings. But there is time for it. But unrevelated people, preachers, ministers, who cannot see beyond now, who claim God has called them, the whole world fall in love so much with them, they are coming to make them presidential candidates. And they are submitting to themselves. They are going, ha! Blind preachers. Blind pastor. Vice president. So this is all you want to be, pastor. Ha! Pastor, concerning the kingdom of God that is coming, you know better than Jesus. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he is King of Kings. See, as soon as they see me so, I am a king. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. Wait, when we come in the millennium, you will know I'm a king. But for now, I can't be a king here. This is not my kingdom now. Listen, I didn't say you as a Christian cannot go and be president and vice president. Every Christian, you are free to go. It will be better for Nigeria. But for me, a preacher, the call I have is higher than the office of the president of Nigeria. Praise the Lord. No, you won't understand that. Oh, he's talking because he doesn't have the chance. He's talking because he doesn't have the chance. Okay, thank God I don't have the chance. But I am telling you that I have a record in America. Billy Graham was told because of his popularity in America, he's the most respected American till today. They came to him that he should come and vote for the presidency of America because of his popularity. Not everybody will vote him. He told them that is an insult to him. He said the office he occupies is higher than the office of the president of America. How can you tell him to descend from his calling and come down to a lesser ministry? Amen. Why I'm saying so is the same thing that is making that pastor to go and be a vice president or for another to go and campaign to be president is the same reason you are unable to drop some things that are hindering you in your journey for your eternal destination. It's the same thing. Myopic. You only see now. You have no future. You have no vision of the future. You have no vision. That's why all you struggle for is how you build house. When you finish building those houses and you die, what happens to those houses? You see? You're accumulating millions. Bring offering. You bring 10 naira, 100 naira. It's okay. You're accumulating it because you want to build the finest house in your village because you want to leave a name behind. When you leave a name behind, how does it affect your eternal destination? You see how myopic people are. You see? God has given us opportunity. He said, lay your treasures where? In heaven. He said, arm robbers cannot come there. Moth cannot get there. It doesn't decay. Lay your treasures there. Hallelujah. Does it mean that you should not own any property here? You should own any property you want to own, but not at the detriment of your soul. That's what I'm saying. Give to God what belongs to God. Give him your heart. Give him your soul. It belongs to him. Anything he tells you to do, do it. I'm talking to the bride. I told you I'm not talking to everybody. How many people am I talking to? Okay, you are the one. You are the one. Give your soul to him. He said, if you keep it, you will lose it. He who saves his life will lose it. But he who will lose his life, you will do what? You will save it. You will have it back. Give your life to Christ. You are withdrawing some. It's not total. You are keeping it. He wants all of it. He wants all of your soul. All of yours. Everything you have. You must position it to belong to him. When he says, don't do something, don't do it. When he says, do something, don't care what other people feel. Your focus is on him. They were telling me a story. That little girl. What's her name? Favor. Somebody was telling me that each time she stood here to make the recitation, hallelujah, her focus was on her father. The father was sitting down somewhere. So, when the father said, stop, she will stop. When he said, go ahead, he was signaling her. None of us know where her focus was. When you clap your hands, bah, 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 she's not distracted by the clap you are clapping. She's watching her father. When the father says, go ahead, he will go ahead. When he says, stop, he will say, if he says too fast, he will slow down. Slow down. If he says, stop, he will stop. That is the life of a Christian. Don't care what people are saying. Don't be distracted by what people are feeling. Focus on the word. What does the word say I should do? So while you are clapping your hands, no matter how you are clapping your hands, if her father frowned the face, she will know she didn't get it. You see? Who are you looking to please in your Christian life? Who are you looking to? There are workers in this church that all they do is to work to please the pastor. When the pastor is around, everybody is in the duty position. I service. And that is wrong. That is wrong. You see? It's wrong. You know, I know they see what in all these prophets they see. They are on the spirit and they see my own are physical and they see. I see my own physical. You see? So I was driving and coming in one day. There were a group of people at the gate together with the security people. As soon as they sighted my car, I noticed some movements around there. I knew something is wrong, but they didn't know I had taken note of that movement. So when I came, I asked somebody at the back, I said, what was going on as I was coming? He said, somebody shouted, say, Pastor, they come. I'm going to check on myself. Pastor, they come. So everybody ran to take their position. Everybody ran to take their position. That is I service. Praise the Lord. I service. In those days, I had children in my house. I insisted that they should not watch all these, some of these films in the house. But you know how children are. And so, I entered my house. I came in one time. And when I entered, I saw the television off, the video off, everywhere. And then everybody was calm, some in their room just calm. As I entered the house, I said, how can the house be so calm? What is happening? So I went behind the television to feel the heat. And it was so hot. So I had to call them. I said, continue watching what you people were watching before I came. And they thought he saw vision. Maybe as I'm talking now, they don't grow now, then they hear me now. Maybe I'm talking now, they will now know. I said, no, continue. Go and watch what you people were watching. Watch it. Put it on. Let me see what were you people watching. Amen. Amen. What is it? That is how some of us serve God. In hypocrisy, you fear man more than God. And this God has an all-seeing eye. Before this God, there is no secret sin. The secret sin you commit is secret to man, but no secret to God. There's a song that says, watching you. Something. How does that song go? Any of these choir people know that song? Every day, minor things you pursue. Watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, have this at the back of your mind. There is no secret before God. The Therefore, there is nothing called secret sin before a Christian. I hope you know that. Every sin you commit, you are committing against God. So what makes it secret? A God that knows your thoughts. A God that knows your tomorrow from today. A God that knows everything you do wherever you are. So why do you still allow the devil tell you this is a secret sin? Secret to who? Secret to your wife. Secret to your husband. Secret to your pastor. Secret to your brothers and sisters. But very, very open to God. William Branham said the angel of God told him that our thoughts, he said, they speak louder than our voice in heaven. So, you are not just, that's why he said, guide your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Mind the thoughts you even accumulate in your heart. Every sin you commit starts from the heart. Every sin you commit starts from the heart. Therefore, guide your mind. Guide your thoughts. Guide it. Guide it. Guide it. Some of you have called me. You say, I'm always masturbating. I say, he said, pray for me. I say, it is not prayer that will stop masturbation. It's not prayer. Because the sin of fornication starts first with a thought. When you accumulate it, when you welcome it and it stays, then it takes over. But when that thought comes and you rebuke it, it will go. You forget again, it is coming. You say, eh? You rebuke it, it will go. When you do that regularly, very soon, it will never come again. Small time now, you won't even rebuke it with your mouth openly as the thought they come. Another thought they drive and come out. Every sin of fornication, there is no demon that will so possess you that you say, I couldn't hold myself. I could not hold myself. It's a lie. It's a lie, yo! Don't let the devil deceive you that it is your weakness. There is no weakness called fornication. There is no weakness called fornication. Church, a weakness is something that comes upon you spontaneously. And when the act is done, then you recover yourself like anger. Anger comes back when you slap somebody finish. Your mind will come back and say, hey, you will start to regret. It's true. But not alcohol, to drink beer. You say, now my weakness. To smoke cigar. Something alcohol, weakness, will make you go to look for beer parlor. From your place, you carry yourself, they will look for beer to drink. He said, now my weakness, now your weakness. There is nothing in you to counter it from the time you left your house to that beer parlor. It is not a weakness. You like it. Hallelujah. So also for fornication. To start with, fornication is not a stick somewhere. It's not a stick that you were moving, then it attracted you back. Then you say, oh, I don't fornicate. Hey, I'm sorry. You sit down. You phone her. You called her. She came. You convinced her to agree. Then you took your shirt off. You took your dress. All these periods. Ha! Nothing could stop you to think again. It's a lie. You're a fornicator. You like it. It's not a demon. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. If not, why that thing not make you go carry another person's wife, police commissioner wife? Why you not go meet police commissioner wife? It's true. Or you go to chief judge wife. You say your own. Now only married women you dey like. But how come you dey select which married woman to meet? That means it is you. Church, fornication is not a sin by accident. Sin by choice, brother. you choose it. And there is no demon of fornication. You desire it. The day you say, I don't fornicate again, that day, from that day, you don't fornicate. That's the truth. Church, that is the truth. I am saying so for somebody who is joking with your eternal destination. Stop it! Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55 says so. This is the time he may be found. One of these days, you will seek for him. He will be nowhere to be found. This earth, very soon, and very, very soon, this earth will burn with fire, says the Bible. Who believe the Bible? Who believe the Bible? Who believe that this earth will burn with fire? Put down your hand. If you don't believe that this earth will burn by fire, let me see your hand up. No, don't be afraid. I will show you in the Bible if you don't know. This earth, very soon, fire. God will rain fire on this earth. And when that fire will come, where will he meet you? Where will you be? Let's bow down our heads. Give me grace to follow. Everybody, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Oh, give me grace to follow,
abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough.
Oh Lord, give me grace to follow,
oh, abundant grace to follow.
I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Oh Lord, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow.
Your grace is enough.
That's your prayer. Pray, Lord. I need your grace. I need the grace of God to follow. I need the grace of God. Help me, Lord, to live a Christian life. Position me, Lord, to live a life pleasing before you.
Give me your grace to follow.
Yes, Lord.
Your grace is enough.
Let the Christians pray. He who thinks he stands, pray, because he says you take heed lest you fall. Pray. Let all those heaven bound Christians pray, pray. Help me to live a life pleasing before you. Take away the spirit of religion from me. Make me a Christian, Lord. Pray, 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 pray.
Abundant grace,
abundant grace. Oh, yes, Lord.
I need your grace. This is my endless cry.
Thank you, Father.
This is my endless desire. Give me the power to do your will. Singing anointing,
Lord, give my life,
the Lord answer your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Church, I don't mean to condemn anybody. I just want to stir up somebody's spirit so that we that are bound for this rapture, we will remain rapturable. Because the time has come, and the Bible says, let those who are filthy be filthy still. But I'm telling you, let those who be holy also remain holy still. As many of us that have made up our mind to go to heaven, you are the ones I am exhorting this afternoon. The rest of you that I stayed too long talking, forgive me. Forgive me. I don't mean to waste your time. But I know that I was talking to somebody. Those of us who have benefited from the cross on Calvary will be coming back here exactly 5 o'clock. Once it's 5